Welcome to your weekly Smart Look at Sports. This is The Classroom. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strella, director of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, intern Captain Mike Wallace, and Michael Hines are also alongside. I don't feel good about the fact, Keith Strella, that they have the same name. This is confusing me. I'm glad that one's a Mike and a Michael. Still too close for my liking.
Well, there's also, it's the mics, but then we also are speaking into mics. So literally everything that we are talking about, like, can someone fix my mic? Am I talking about my mic, my microphone,
or
my
mic?
Can someone fix one of those guys?
Or your Michael.
Right. Can someone fix my Michael?
Here's what's coming up in the program this morning. It is draft day in the classroom. Every year we draft. Last year was animals as we were repopulating the species of the earth in a Noah's Ark style. Today we draft nations.
And let's say a post-apocalyptic world where we are now all each getting a segment of the planet, per se.
Perhaps a leader was elected to a powerful nation, and that leader drove the other nations into ruin. And now it's incumbent on the four of us to redraft countries and take this thing over again.
And so you basically will have four nations. Are we going four deep?
We're going four. I think we do 16. We'll go four rounds.
We go four rounds. You get four nations to restart the planet.
And the other nations don't exist.
That's right. And this is not... We're not battling each other. We're not going to be battling. This is not a War of the Worlds kind of situation. You are just going to be restarting the planet. What would you like your planet to have? It's really interesting. It has very... limited ties to sports, other than the fact we're drafting.
The draft is the backbone of all of all sports leagues.
Sure.
How teams rebuild themselves. And the strategy behind the draft will be evident in the strategy that we take, the strategy that I take during the nation draft.
We're going to be getting into this deep in the second hour. I don't want to give away too much strategy and discuss too deeply how this is going to go, but you are too rigid in your process. I know this.
I'm not rigid at all. I have different processes. I don't know where I'm going to pick. We don't know who's picking in order.
We don't know. We're going snake order.
It's absolutely a snake draft. So if you pick fourth, you also pick fifth. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know.
I'm actually going to do what a lot of people would do in a situation like this. I'm just going to spin the globe wherever my finger ends up.
That's smart. What could possibly go wrong there?
I'm just going to spin it. I'll take Libya. You could put together a band of deplorables, a basket of deplorables, if you will.
Stay tuned for the Nation Draft. It's coming up in our second hour. We're also going to talk about Les Miles, who is out as the head football coach at Louisiana State University, a move I think a lot of people are surprised took this long to happen. He's been on the hot seat for quite a while. Les Miles is a parting gift, $12.9 million.
And it's an odd time, obviously, to do it. Not a lot of coaches looking for work three games into the season.
Not a lot of schools looking for coaches.
Well, they're ahead of the game at that point, so they're the only one in the hunt. But it is an odd time to potentially be looking. And you could think about some of the people that eventually they may want, whether it's, Herman down at University of Houston, Petrino up at Louisville, although he swears he's not going anywhere.
They all do.
Well, Petrino, there's no one more trustworthy than Bobby Petrino when it comes to keeping your word. So it's an odd time it's not like you can put out the ads now and get someone. They'll have an interim for the end of the year or for the remainder of the season who probably will be a sacrificial lamb and won't get an opportunity at the position. USC went down this road not that long ago, but I never think it's a good idea to have your coach removed this early into the season. And by the way, LSU, while they are wearing national title prospect, they weren't playing that poorly. They happen to have not been able to close out games. They're in a very tough conference. They had a tough early season schedule out of conference. They dropped a couple of games, unfortunately. But, I mean, look, there's only four teams that make the playoffs. Four teams in all of college sports. And this is – Oklahoma is going to have this same conversation, although their coach is relatively secure. I mean, is the idea that if you don't make the college football playoff and you're a power, it's an awful season? It's a hard way to have that as your kind of baseline.
Razor thin margin of error in major college football. We are also discussing this morning the sporting news list of the 50 most influential people in sports. Shockingly, and I think incorrectly, we're not on it.
You know what I've been told? We were 51 and 52.
Oh.
That's what I literally heard. We were also receiving votes, so we were right on the edge of getting in there. The vote was actually taken before we moved into the new studio. So if they'd known, this would have actually thrown us. I expect next year we'll make one of those major jumps where we move into like 30s. We move right to the 30s.
You know, you bring up the new studio. This is now our third week in our new studio. Right, and some things have started to change. One, our table is lower.
Yes.
Our chairs are different. We've now got, instead of the high bar stool type situation, we've now got regular chairs.
Like
very
an office,
comfortable.
An office chair.
I like them. Mesh back, armrests. I feel good about that situation. Our banner is up. Mm-hmm. We have found it. Fox 1220 ESPN Radio banner is hanging behind us. And by the way, you can see what this studio looks like when clips are posted online. Keep following ESPN underscore classroom on Twitter.
That's right. You go to the Facebook page, the Marist College Center for Sports Communication Facebook page. I believe that's, or the YouTube channel, one of these two places.
You can see us, what we look like,
that's
what
right.
The studio looks like. What you're not going to see is this beautiful TV monitor that we bought.
Why
to have our logo on it.
Why isn't the logo on it?
That's a great question. You're going to have to ask our technical producer. You're going to have to, anybody that's not me is who you have to ask.
Michael Wallace, you are the captain of this ship. You've had, now, this is your second failure of the last 3 days. 180 did not come in on time. It's on you. Who's the captain?
I am the captain.
All right. So I'm not gonna start blaming Oliver, even though it was his fault. I understand Oliver, it was a huge failure. Catastrophic, one might say. He should carry this around with him for a long time. And if it makes him feel bad, good. But it's your fault, too. You're in charge. So you failed there, and now you failed to get our TV on. Can you explain what happened?
No, honestly, I can't. I can tell you
yes.
that the clock is no longer 5 minutes fast.
The clock is still 4 minutes fast.
Yeah. Better than five, some would say.
So, I mean, no, actually. I don't think it's
any better. I don't say that. No, it's the thing where it's either right or wrong. There's right. no margin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you either correct.
Yeah, we have a big clock in our studio that lets us know what time it is. You might see how that could be important trying to run a radio broadcast.
Live.
You know the exact time of day that it is. We don't necessarily have that.
Yes. You have to look at it and constantly remember to subtract. Now, apparently, 4 minutes.
I would call it like 3.5.
Okay. All right. So, but do you know why our TV's not working?
I do not.
Okay. Are you intellectually curious? Because we're curious. I would say
I'd like to know.
I'd like to know.
Yeah. But I just thirst for knowledge.
Is it something? Because you're staring right at it.
I'm staring at you. Yeah, I'll find out during the commercial break. Unless you want me behind you right now.
No, just find out. Maybe write a memo.
That's known as a teaser in the broadcast world, folks. We are going to get you information about the show as to why our television doesn't work. And yes, this is a radio broadcast, so you have no idea if our TV works or doesn't work. We thought that perhaps, not to pile on Oliver, but let's pile on Oliver for a second. We thought that we'd be live streaming on Twitter this morning. In fact, I've gone so far as to promise the people
that we'd be live streaming
on Twitter.
You wrote a check that we could not cash.
And as is typical for the classroom, we have overpromised and underdelivered.
Sure.
We are not live streaming on Twitter, and I am told will not be for the foreseeable future simply because we can't. We never checked into whether we could or not. Well, we just started telling people we would.
I don't think that's true. No. We are one small step away.
Oliver, come to the glass.
No.
Come to the glass.
Oliver has a hard enough time.
Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Are we physically capable of streaming this program on Twitter?
I'll wait.
I'll wait. It's a yes or no question.
He gives you a side.
I'm going to need. This is not Gladiator. I don't need a side thumb. You're going to have to tell me a thumbs up. Yes, we're capable. A thumbs down. No, we're not.
All right.
Thumbs up.
Yes.
That's not what you told me 15 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, but he lied to you. See, here's the deal.
And if we're capable, why aren't we?
We are one software application away from doing this.
Do we have that software application?
If we had the software application, we'd be doing it.
So we're not capable.
If this is like a spousal argument. If I knew what time I was supposed to be at the dinner, I would have been there on time. Like those kind of stupid arguments, right? If I knew what time the soccer game was, I would have told you.
Keith, I don't want you to wash the dishes. I want you to want to wash the dishes.
So I'm telling you, if I had the software, I'm not hiding the software. I'm not like, oh, look at this. Wouldn't it be funny if we have it and don't use it? Although that's actually very typical of us, since we have all this stuff that we don't actually figure out how to use. We got boxes full of stuff we don't know how to use. But that's not what this is. We have to get And now this is really interesting to the listener wanting to know the coding systems that are coming out of our studio. But there's these computers have to talk to one another. Like they have to kind of translate the code into something that Twitter or Periscope or YouTube Live can understand. You don't deal with this because the broadcast ends when you open and shut your mouth into
yes,
the microphone.
Because I have a role to play and I play it well.
Right. I'm trying to navigate the whole...
Imagine if I sat down here and said, my software doesn't work, I'm not talking today.
So, well, you basically are saying that.
I'm not saying that. Oliver turned me into a liar. I promised the people a live stream on Twitter. And Oliver turned me into a liar.
So what's going to happen is we are going to figure out, we've got 18 interns, most of whom, their primary role seems to be sitting in front of a monitor.
Between the 18, I am confident that we have 3 competent brains.
All right. Someone is going to figure out how to make sure that we can get on Twitter. Now, it's going to involve, we may have to buy some software, we may have to get a box that does something.
If you have one of those and would like to sell it to us, just on Twitter at ESPN_Clashroom.
If you actually know how to get a video feed out to a live Twitter stream, go ahead and tweet us. In 140 characters or less, tweet us. We're going to make this happen because you want to watch us live.
You want to engage with us. That's what we're looking forward to, is the engagement, hearing what the people think.
And then we're global. Then we're global, too. We're going to be China. I don't know what the streaming policies or whatever. As soon as the Chinese government sees it, they'll shut it down.
Yeah, that's not going to do the filters. No way. What if we end up huge in, like, North Korea?
With Dennis Rodman? With the
ambassadors? What if it would be like that movie, The Interview? If we get the chance to go to North Korea Kim Jong-un.
No, we're not doing that. I'm going to tell you that. They may be high in your nation draft. I am not going over. You may go as a representative. I'm not going.
This morning, the program, we're talking about the sporting news. 50 most influential people in sports. Les Miles out at LSU. He's got $12.9 million worth of a golden parachute. We're also going to draft nations later in this program. Plus, we'll debate an esoteric sports topic in necessary detail, have grades of the week, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. Your weekly Smart Look at Sports continues next. Class is in session on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Oh, the circus is in town this morning. I'm Jeff, he's Keith, Mike, and Mike, there's no copyright infringement there, are hanging out at our intern table. We promised you an update on why our brand new television doesn't work. Mike Wallace, tell the people why not.
The TV's not reading the USB. That's all the information I have.
But why did the TV used to read the USB?
I don't know. I'm not the person to ask.
But you are the captain.
I am the captain now.
You actually are the person to ask.
Look at me.
No, sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I am the captain now.
See that? it's a Pavlovian thing. As soon as it starts, I can't stop myself.
Sure.
But you are the person to ask, and apparently the TV has changed. Apparently the only thing that Oliver thinks he's going to be able to do to make this better is now to strip down to a tank top. That has been...
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, guns out in the control room.
Taking over Tank Top Tommy's old place.
True.
In the tradition of the classroom.
Nice of Oliver to put on pajama pants for the program. Really inspires a lot of confidence in your professional staff when they show up wearing pajama pants.
I feel like we are about one step away from this being a total meltdown show where we both just go off the rails and start screaming about what the interns aren't doing.
I can't work like this.
I'll tell you what we were able to do is get a photo that says photo behind you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not helpful, I got to tell you. As a visual, it's not particularly helpful.
It's just so the people at home know that we have the capability of putting
It's not something you put in a model home. It's actually a real TV.
It's a real television.
But we just don't know how to work it.
That can't read USBs.
If you want to relive this fun, please stop yelling in the control room. We can hear that out here. If you want to relive this fun during the week, follow us on Twitter at ESPN or Classroom. Right. Like us on Facebook by searching for ESPN The Classroom. And archived versions of our show are available on iTunes in the podcast section. You search for ESPN The Classroom.
And then every week they come up there. And by the way, let's get the numbers up. This is real important. You want us to go national? You want to ride this gravy train all the way to the top? You want to be one of the people that says, I was there at the beginning before they were, the next big thing?
I remember when they couldn't get their logo on a TV screen. And look at them now. That could be what you're saying.
That's right. So, get on board right now. There's a lot of people that were on board at the beginning of the Center for Sports Communication. you know, now I've got Iron Eagle, you know, coming up hanging out with. By the way, great night here on campus. Iron Eagle, fabulous. Fabulous. He's a great guy. Really good guy. Would you concur with that, Jeff?
I absolutely would. It was a lot of fun getting to hang out with Iron Eagle and hear his stories. Surprisingly good at impressions.
Yes.
He did, I think, the best Marv Albert I've ever heard. And his Bill Raftery was very
good.
Bill
Raftery was very good. I guess he just has that. His voice is that good. He has that kind of voice control. I mean, you know, that's his instrument. That's his instrument.
The Marist College Center for Sports Communication does a speaker series. You can keep track of who's coming up by visiting sportscom.marist.edu.
And we hope to have an announcement sometime soon. But again, once again, it's on the shoulders of Michael Wallace.
Oh boy.
And I'm hoping, I don't want to make promises, so I'm not going to name anyone. But hopefully, Michael's going to come through for us very soon.
Yeah, hopefully, yes.
There's been a lot of promises. A lot of promises. Oh, let me tell you what. Is the plane ticket dependent on the date?
Ooh.
Oh boy.
And that plane ticket we're referring to is to American hotspot Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
We're not even that lucky. I don't even know where we're flying to. But we'll end up in Tuscaloosa somehow.
Yes, the classroom in late November is going to the Iron Bowl.
That's right.
It's happening thanks to my leadership.
Oh, God.
And Keith Struthers' follow through.
I will write you out of this. I will pull you off that media credential. I'm the kingmaker here right now.
The only reason you were spurred to action was because of my motivation.
Yes. And I just to prove that I can literally do anything, I said, fine.
I am your Tony Robbins. I am your guru.
That's fine. You know what? That's fine. You can be the consultant. I'm the star.
That's fine. I made you. And that means that I can break you. Let's get to this morning's big story.
It's the big story.
Well, that was unnecessarily violent. Also, it also ended very abruptly. It just ended very abruptly. The heck was that?
Play it again. Play one more time.
It's the big story.
Who's responsible for that? Captain Mike Wallace, who is responsible?
Present.
Huh.
Deckhand Mike Hines.
I don't know that it needed to end.
Deckhand.
I don't know that it needed to end so quickly. Like, I feel like the music could have continued on with the explosion, right? And the explosion could have been...
One more?
Let's hear it one more time.
It's the big story.
And we're done. I tell you what, I kind of want to end every show with that, with just an explosion and then silence.
Class is dismissed.
It's not bad. It sums it up just fine.
It does. I do feel like every time this program ends, we just leave a trail of destruction in our wake. So
that
it is very appropriate.
In all fairness, that's what I asked for. I said I want music, I want voiceover, and I want I want a big bang. That's exactly what
That's what you were given. Okay, this morning's big story. The Sporting News has released their list of the top 50 most influential people in sports. That list includes 12 commissioners, 4 owners, 8 media executives, 7 active athletes, 5 former athletes. It does not include Keith Strudler or myself. What do you think of the list?
I think it's interesting. Look, the conference commissioners are, I mean, they're the power players. The two big conference commissioners, basketball and football. I think it's interesting how much further baseball is behind Silver and Roger Goodell. And Roger Goodell, still the most powerful person in sports. And I think they have that right, and I firmly believe that.
If you haven't seen the list, it is Roger Goodell at the top, followed by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. The president of ESPN, John Skipper, is 3. LeBron James comes in at 4. And we'll have something to say about that in a moment. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, is 5th. Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour, is 6th. Phil Knight, the former CEO of Nike, he just retired this year, is 7. Jerry Jones is 8. He's the owner of the Cowboys, of course. Steph Curry is 9 from the Golden State Warriors. And Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, is 10.
I think it's worthwhile to name our number 11, which is Serena Williams, the first female on the list. obviously there's a dearth of females compared to their male.
Three in the top 50 are females, yeah, led by Serena.
Yeah, so it's obviously disproportionate. Dana White, number 12, actually. I guess every name to me is pretty interesting. Look, the power at the very top lies with the two major commissioners, and I actually think the leagues and the teams will continue to grow and move up that list. To some degree, I'm a little surprised that we didn't even see maybe a little bit heavier influence on team owners and so forth, just because they are increasingly taking control of the content of the media. You know, the more that places like the NFL Network, the NBA Network, individually owned team networks, those can thrive. Where's the Yankees ownership? Do we not? I
don't believe they're present.
Which is, that's shocking to me.
Well, ever since George Steinbrenner passed, the Yankees ownership has been somewhat incompetent.
But the influence of the Yes Network, the revenue potential of the Yes Network, the value of the franchise, that's still a very valuable franchise. I think maybe the more interesting story here becomes, and Kevin Plank at number 6, very interesting. Under Armour being ahead of, I guess, Nike. I understand Phil Knight's retired, but you know, Under Armour is a major player, and the fact that they are even in this discussion of the top, you don't see Adidas in the top 10. The fact that Under Armour has climbed up that quickly, that has to be one of the quickest ascent of a list like this ever.
Nike has two in the top 23. Mark Parker, who is the new CEO of Nike, he is number 23
still,
on the list.
Still answers. Interesting, the old king's not quite...
Well, Phil Knight, I believe, still has his board seat.
Right.
Which gives him, you know, significantly more power. He can, I believe, still be involved in firing the CEO. So I think it makes sense that he would be more powerful. So the first one I agree with. I think we're all in agreement. Roger Goodell, number one on the most influential people in sports. Adam Silver, number two.
Do you agree with Silver, number two, ahead of John Skipper of ESPN?
I do. In fact, I'm surprised because, you know, John Skipper at ESPN, and I understand it's in sports, he's got bosses. You know, Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, they don't really have bosses. They work for the owners, but they have significantly more individual control than I think even John Skipper does, who has to answer to ABC.
Who has to answer to Disney? At this point, ABC might be answering to him. So, but do you? I guess the larger question becomes: is it the content makers or is it the guys who own the pipelines? And because you don't see a lot of network influence. I mean, CBS Sports was further back, NBC further back. It used to be. I mean, ESPN used to be the most powerful name in sports. I mean, ESPN
still are.
But they're number three, and
was a brand. But we're talking about individual people.
Do you think ESPN or the NFL is more powerful
as an entity?
As an entity,
the NFL.
So I mean, it's
the reason for that is if the NFL goes away, so does ESPN. I mean, not entirely.
As the league goes,
so goes ESPN.
I mean, it is obviously it's a symbiotic relationship, but I guess the other question that really. I don't know, this list raised is where do the athletes fit into this?
Well, I think LeBron at 4 is ludicrously high.
Do you think it's
ludicrously
high? Why?
What influence does LeBron have over the sports world? I understand a marketing influence. I understand within his own team the ability to influence personnel decisions. But when it comes right down to it, influence and power are very closely related. And what true power does LeBron have, excluding star power?
It's an interesting question. I guess the question of influence, there's part of that is power and part of that is impact. And it's almost like a hybrid of those two terms. In terms of impact, no one's had more impact on the sports landscape than LeBron in the last 5 years, right? I mean, he has literally changed the face of professional basketball in some regards. He's pushed it to a level that they hadn't seen even in the Michael Jordan era.
Without a doubt.
Right? And you see his compatriot, and number 9, Steph Curry, and the two of them have really, really influenced. And they have tentacles in other parts of the industry, whether it's the video gaming industry, the, you know, all forms of marketing and so forth. They have a much larger say, I think, in league matters. I think they push Silver in terms of how they're going to be doing their contracts. I think, you know, you talk about the NBA as a player's league. I think this ranking, I don't know, it privileges that recognition. The fact that the players in the NBA now have just as much power, and in many cases, the owners. It used to be, and it's certainly in the NFL, you don't see NFL players up high on the list, right? Because in the end of the day, the NFL owners...
Don't see NFL players on the list at all.
There's not a single NFL, and we don't even have Brady on there, right? Because there's a recognition that, for the most part, if the NFL, if players decide that they don't like this or they don't like that, the owners can replace them, and they are a
Tom Brady 30, by the way, excuse
disposable me. Commodity, right? But the NBA, if the NBA players lock together and say, we want changes, I think in almost every case now, and I think this is even a shift from the Adam Silver era, even to the David Stern era. And David Stern fought the players time and time again, and every single time won. I don't think the players ever got the better of that deal. I think today that if there's an initiative that the players want, they will be able to enforce that change. I don't think that Adam Silver would want to, even. I mean, let's be honest, I think Adam Silver's a really smart guy. I don't think he'd want to test the will and mettle of the NBA players. So I think in that case, I think LeBron James mandates league policy as much as anyone in the league. I think he can – look, I mean, the owners fawn over him. They do whatever he wants, right?
I don't disagree
with
that.
And also think about the influence – and if it's not just over the league itself, think about the influence he has over companies like Nike, right? I mean, he is a kingmaker in that regard.
I don't disagree with any of that. LeBron James, without a doubt, the most powerful athlete in the NBA. Probably the most powerful athlete in sports. Wields more influence than maybe any athlete.
It's got to be a soccer player, right? Ronaldo.
None of whom are on the list, by the way.
It's an American list, though. It's an American list. But that is actually interesting to me. There's not an international athlete, really. I mean, you can call it tennis, but there's not a soccer player that's influential enough in the U.S.
I'm not questioning that LeBron James is influential, but the fourth most influential person in sports, ahead of the commissioner of Major League Baseball, ahead of Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's not
the Dallas Cowboys are worth a couple $1 billion.
Yes, no doubt. And Jerry Jones is able to get a stadium built that's, you know, like will go down as like the ninth one of the world because the Astrodome is the eighth. As they call themselves. I get that. But look, how powerful is Rob Manfred? I like Rob Manfred.
I think he's as powerful as Adam Silver.
No, I just don't. Rob Manfred cannot force baseball owners to do something. He can't. He can walk. Is he going to walk into the Yankees front office and be like, guys, we're doing it this way? He's not. Baseball is the owners in baseball are too powerful. They have too much of their own content. Too many games, networks, there's a history and a tradition. And beyond that, the players have a ton of influence.
Well, the difference in baseball compared to basketball, sort of compared to basketball, but definitely compared to the NFL, is the way that the broadcast rights are handled.
Sure.
Major League Baseball is all local. There's not a very strong national broadcast deal. Absolutely.
And so they don't. So the things that they control, that content, it's minimal. I mean, they own the World Series, but it's minimal compared to what the teams own. It's also the gate revenue that these teams command and the way that they're able to keep that revenue. So the money that's flowing in is flowing into the teams. And there is a long and storied history and tradition of these teams being able to do things their way, even the way they're able to distribute payroll. I mean, the teams really mandate how things function. And again, the players' union in baseball is very powerful. So what Manfred may want to do, I mean, Manfred has, you could make the argument, the most difficult job in that of that group, because he's more of a herding cat situation. He kind of has to slowly push people, and then he's got this whole minor league system underneath it that he's trying to figure out how to get players filtered up. You know, the difference between that and Adam Silver's like, I'd like all courts to be blue. Let's do that. And that becomes a mandate. And there's very few people that are gonna suggest otherwise. And he finds people at will. And he doesn't because he's a good commissioner. But Roger Goodell, same thing. Roger Goodell has basically been given through a contract with the players the right to be able to do whatever he wants in the best interest of the league. So when he levies penalties, fines, suspensions, and all that kind of stuff, it's basically whatever he wants. That's even the judges conceded that on the Tom Brady. That's why Tom Brady is in the 30s and Roger Goodell's number one. Because when Roger Goodell's like, look, I think he should be suspended for 4 games, the courts are like, yeah, that's a stupid decision, but yeah, he can do that.
Under Armour ahead of Nike. Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour, comes in at 6. Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, is 7. And the CEO of Nike, Mark Parker, is 23. That surprise you?
I'm surprised that Under Armour is as high as it is. I'm surprised it's as high as it is because they are still, I guess, I'm a big fan of Kevin Plank. You know why? Because that guy is just, he's living the dream. Like, does anyone live?
He's living the dream. He's a young guy. Early 40s.
Does anyone live a better life than Kevin Plank?
Yes.
Who?
Lots of people live a better life than Kevin Plank.
Who?
Tom Brady lives a better life than Kevin Plank.
No, he doesn't.
I guess he does.
Mike's. Who do you like? Tom Brady or Kevin Plank?
Brady.
I guarantee you.
You guys shut your mouth for the rest of the show.
almost any active athlete. Kevin Plank, I believe, would trade his position to be a high middle tier professional athlete.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
being in the games is what everybody wants.
All right. It's what everybody wants. I don't want to be in the games. I'd like to own a team.
He doesn't own a team. In fact, you know who lives better than Kevin Plank? Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones doesn't live bad. I'm not going to lie. Jerry Jones doesn't live bad.
Jerry Jones bought his own helicopter for pig shooting.
Exactly, to shoot pigs. That's not a lie. That happened.
I know that. That's so wrong at every level.
So anyway, a lot of people live better than Kevin Plank.
No, I don't believe that.
Who has a great life, a successful businessman.
He's got a plane.
But business isn't sexy. Sports is sexy.
He's in the business of sports. If he wants to make Maryland look this way, he gives him these. He is a kingmaker. He does whatever he wants.
You know what he's not? Married to a supermodel.
How do you know that?
I think we'd know if he was.
Well, let's look it up. This is wrong. We're going to stop. We're not going to do this. No. We just wanted to know if he was like. Marty, but getting into his personal life seems a little invasive.
You said who lives better than him?
Nobody.
Tom Brady.
He's worth how much is
Derek Jeter? Derek Jeter.
No.
Derek Jeter's now a CEO of a company. The Players Tribune.
Well, yeah, I love the Players Tribune. We do. We partner with the Sports PR Summit to do events at the Players Tribune. But you, sir, are no John F. Kennedy. But.
He's not married to a supermodel.
All right, thank you. That's fine. I'm sure he's happily married, though.
He's got a great life. But you can't stand here and be like, Kevin Plank has the best life of anyone on the planet.
Kevin Plank has a better life than anyone else on this list.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
So if I said to you right now, you can be LeBron James or you can be Kevin Plank.
Kevin Plank. I don't want to have my life judged on my on-court performance every night, have that kind of scrutiny. Kevin Plank wakes up and he's like, how many billions am I going to make today?
And LeBron doesn't?
No, LeBron wakes up, he's like, oh man, I gotta stop Steph. I got a deal. I'm going to get, you know, I've got all this pressure on me. I got to keep my body perfectly. I mean, the pressure's on him.
And you don't think Kevin Plank has any pressure on him, who, by the way, number two in the apparel market, and he can't even see where Nike is. A distant two. He's like 40 billion behind.
That's right, but it's nothing but, he is the underdog. It's always great to be the underdog. Everything he does is a win.
It's great to be the underdog until you lose to the top dog.
No, but you don't.
Yeah, but Strudler loves being number two.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be Nike.
No, I don't want to be Nike. I want to be Under Armour.
Yeah, why be the best when you can be second?
You don't want to be the guy that everyone's looking at.
So if I said to you, you can be Nike or you can be Under Armour, you're like, I want to be Under Armour.
Under Armour.
I want to have a third of the value,
yep.
A third of the influence.
Darn right.
Strudler takes silver of the money. Over gold silver. 10 out of 10
yep,
times.
Exactly. Give me the silver.
What is wrong with you?
Give me the silver.
Other surprises on the Sporting News Most Influential list, Mark Emmert, 20. He's the president of the NCAA. 20.
Well, I mean, look, he's very powerful. And I think the reason he's probably as low as he is, although he wields an enormous amount of influence, is because he doesn't control the college football playoff situation.
True.
And so the most powerful property in college sports is really outside of his realm. And if that was a property that they owned, if we went back in the early, you know, before 1984 and it was all owned and operated by the NCAA, that might be a little bit different.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think March Madness is the most valuable property in college sports. I think it's more valuable than the college football playoff. I do. When you look at just the playoff as a whole.
Just the playoff. Now, you will obviously concede that college football is
without a doubt.
Dwarfs college
without
basketball.
A doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Like 5-1,
yes.
6-1.
But I think March Madness as a single entity is more valuable than the college football playoff.
It's an interesting one. Obviously, the college football playoff is very new. And March Madness is a $1 billion property. Mm-hmm. So we understand exactly what it means and the revenues it brings in. I don't know. We'd have to find out the revenue stream that comes off college football playoff. I would say this, though. The earning potential of the college football playoff is, I don't say it's endless, but it certainly it's got an upward trajectory. I mean, we're at a 4-team playoff right now. We're just kind of figuring out how to make this work.
It will become eight.
And at eight, it's starting to become, these could be NFL kind of numbers.
Another surprise on the Sporting News Most Influential People in Sports list, Mark Cuban comes in at 34. And you have to consider his influence outside of sports. Mark Cuban, just by virtue of being on Shark Tank, I think that blends into the sports world. Do you not think that Mark Cuban's stature for being a celebrity outside of the sports world, or having influence with people outside of the sports world, should lend him more credibility in the sports world?
I agree. I think Mr. Wonderful should be on here.
Kevin O'Leary?
Yeah, I think Kevin O'Leary should be on here. I think the whole cast. Gino Auriemma. I'm surprised at him.
41.
At 41.
Gino Auriemma. I mean, you have to consider Gino in league with John Wooden. the amount of success that he's had is
shocking. Is Geno more powerful than Calipari?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Than Bill Belichick?
I think college.
I mean, that's.
I honestly believe college coaches typically wield more power and influence than pro coaches.
He's certain now. He's not driving the revenue though. Like if you talked about, you know, the ability to drive revenue. UConn women's basketball doesn't drive revenue like any of these other properties.
Correct. No, it doesn't.
So I find that to be – I understand as a spokesperson for the sport and as someone who really basically does whatever he wants, whenever he wants it, I understand that one. But, I mean, Nick Saban, are you telling me he's – Nick Saban is – I mean
– Nick Saban could have more influence. I don't feel like Nick Saban wants it. Nick Saban
– He drives the train.
Has Nick Saban ever given you an opinion on anything?
Yeah, he'll say that's a stupid question.
Yeah, he'll give you an opinion on the quality of the question you asked him.
I mean, so he'll do that.
But otherwise, Nick Saban just shuts up and wins.
Another interesting thing to me, Larry Probst, the USOC chairman at 42. I mean, the Olympics is just not a major.
Here's why that's surprising to me. If you had come to me and said, "Who's the chairman of the USOC?" I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
No, I understand it.
I mean, I wouldn't have even had an inkling.
But I know the name, but I wouldn't be able to name it off the top of my head.
I'd be surprised he's on the list at all.
I'd be like Gary Johnson. Tell me the leader of a country that you like.
Oh, boy. I like how he said, he just goes, the president of Mexico.
Which one? No, he said the old president of Mexico. Which one? You know.
All right, Keish.
I'm going to ask you that question. Name me a political leader that you like.
You're actually asking me right now. Barack Obama.
No, from another country.
Angela Merkel from Germany.
Yeah, everyone goes, Merkel's the easy answer.
It's a good answer. I would have said David Cameron in England before he stepped down because of Brexit. Now I have no respect for the new people. No respect for the new people.
Merkel's kind of the safe choice. Everyone knows who she is. I want to see someone be a little more creative. Go off the board.
You know who else I respect? Justin Trudeau in Canada. I like him a lot.
Well, everyone likes him. He's kind of the cool... He's the cool new one. I'd like to see someone pick someone way off the board. Like, who's the president of Norway?
I have no idea. Nobody knows who the president of Norway is.
By the way, is this great leading?
I will say
this.
I believe the president of Finland looks exactly like Conan O'Brien.
Prime Minister of Norway is Erna Solberg.
Sure it is.
The king is Harald V.
I know we got to go to break. Would you rather be, we don't actually have to go because I'm looking at a clock that's 4 minutes.
We don't have, we got a little bit of time.
I haven't even gotten to ask you my wrap-up question yet. But would you rather be the king or the prime minister?
So kings have very little real power, but a lot of symbolic power.
Sure.
I don't necessarily want political power. Mm. That's not the kind of power that I'm hungry for.
But you like riches.
I think I'd rather be a king.
I agree. Yeah. I'd rather be like Prince Charles any day than the prime minister.
Maybe not Prince Charles specifically.
Why not?
But someone of that ilk.
Why not Prince Charles?
Look into his background a little bit.
Oh, not Prince Charles. Who's his son? Not Prince Charles.
William. Prince William.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like Prince William, yes, a better choice.
Yes, not Prince Charles. Prince William.
Yes, Prince William is a better choice. I'd like to be him.
He's got it going on. Prince William's got everything going. He's a great life. Prince William should be on this list.
He has nothing to do with
sports. Influence.
He does. He is sporty.
He goes to Wimbledon.
That's true. I like Serena up that. Serena is, I mean, she is the only tennis player that really has that kind of power.
Keith Strudler.
Closing question.
What do we need to do, you and I, to get on this list next year?
It would probably be good if we could figure out how to get on Twitter. Broadcast. I think that would be helpful if we could do that. I think that would be a start.
I would put a logo behind you guys on a TV monitor.
A better logo. That's a better logo. Maybe if it would help me personally if... one of the Michaels could do what he promised and do and get the speaker date lined up. That would be helpful so we get more kind of connections in the
sports
landscape.
Mike Wallace, by the way. Don't throw Michael Hines under the bus with that.
Look, it's a team effort. I mean, those are three things I can think of off the top of my head. You know what? Wardrobe. If we get like a wardrobe fund to maybe get better clothes.
Oh, that would be good.
Those would be four things off the top of my head.
Okay. If anybody out there can help make that happen, tweet at us at ESPN Unshowed Classroom. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll debate an esoteric sports topic in a necessary detail. Stay tuned. More of the Classroom ahead here on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Welcome back in the Classroom, your weekly smart look at sports. I'm Jeff Feraltis. Keith Strudler runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Mike Wallace, Michael Hines are hanging out as well. You'll hear more from them in a moment, as in the second hour of this program, we will be drafting nations in the second annual Classroom Draft. Stay tuned for that. But first, we have to debate an esoteric sports topic in a necessary detail.
Esoteric sports topics debated in unnecessary detail, featuring Dr. Keith Strudler and Jim Cotter.
We say good morning to our esoteric sports expert, Jim Cotter. How you doing, Jim?
I don't think he's on.
Jim Cotter, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, he's on.
And now we can hear you as well.
Okay.
Hello.
Jim, Jim is at the, I believe, the nation's second largest cross-country meet. Is that correct?
I think it was the first largest
last year. I undersold. I'm sorry. Where is that?
It's in Rochester, New York.
Huh. I would not have guessed that.
Jim, we ask you first our classroom question of the day. Would you rather be a king or a prime minister?
I think I'd rather be a prime minister.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You go opposite of everyone in the room. Why is that?
Well, I think prime minister is at least to some degree earned. You know, I feel like I would want that. And
that's
I think
where we
that
differ.
Throughout history, prime ministers have been beheaded less frequently than kings.
Well, that is a great point, that part at the end there.
I hadn't thought that one through. But I think all of us in the room had no intention of actually wanting to take pride in the accomplishment of becoming. We just wanted
the money and the power and the crowd.
Right. There's no shame in inherited wealth and power in this room. We're fine with that.
All right, here's the esoteric sports topic. I'm sorry. The esoteric topic to be debated in a necessary detail today. What's the best list to be on?
I don't know if you notice the context. We just spent some time talking about the Sporting News' 50 most influential people in sports. So we thought, well, what would be another list that would be great to be on?
What top list is best to be on? I don't know if Jim Cotter knew that question.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Okay,
mine's really easy.
Yours is going to be easy, and I bet it's going to be the automatic winner, because there is an automatic winner in this discussion.
I've got
it. And go ahead and tell us what it is.
Sexiest man.
Done! It's over.
360 no-scope.
That's your automatic win right there. Go ahead and justify it, not that you have to.
Look at that. Come on. Sexiest man in America, Bradley Cooper. Come on. What are you talking about?
I'm disappointed that you know that.
Jim Cotter, we will keep an open mind. Do you have a response?
I think the decent proxy for being the sexiest man alive is the Forbes 500 list of richest people in the world.
Oh, boy.
I find that in many cases, most cases,
pretty sexy.
Is just as effective as attracting womankind.
Yeah, it is sexy.
It is.
I hate that, boy. That's making Jeff think.
It is making me think a little more than I thought. It's a good answer, Jim. I respect that answer. So much so that I'm going to need Keith to further justify his choice of being on the sexiest man alive list.
All right. I just think you need to go through the history of people who have been on that list before.
Oh, boy.
All of them. Oh, it sounds like the race just started. Sounds like the race just started there.
Jim, are you in a fallout
shelter? I almost got trampled.
Going faster than you thought. So
there's 550 high school boys in the starting line, and I almost walked across it. And let me tell you, there's a pole that's a 90-degree turn at the quarter-mile mark. This race goes out fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta be up to the lead before it narrows down. So if you look at the history of the people who have been on that list, whether it's a George Clooney, a Brad Pitt, I mean, on and on and on.
Can they go on and on and on? Or is that really the end of what you can tell?
That's pretty much it. I could dig back through. Let's see. Interesting side note. My good friend Jack Ford was once the sexiest newsman of the year.
Not as good.
Not as good. No, not nearly as good.
Competition is not as fierce.
I understand that. So, but
when you go from all humans to newsmen, it really does.
Look, I understand. The people, though, who have appeared on the Forbes 500, they're not always wanted and happy. Sometimes they're reviled. I mean, tell me someone who isn't. The people who are on
like
the sexiest man to live, so the sexiest man alive, they tend to be well enough off. Bradley Cooper's not hurting for money, right? There's a point at which the extra money doesn't help that much. They can,
yeah,
you know.
It depends if you want to buy an island.
I don't.
As we've learned on this program, the amount of money that is enough money.
More
money.
Yeah. So I understand, but I'm just saying that being on that list tends to give you the perfect balance of desirability. And you tend to hold on to that. Money can come and go. You can have a bad year. Those looks, George Clooney has been good looking.
$1 billion. I think you can find a way to make it last.
You can lose it. You can lose it.
You have to be trying really hard.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, who's going to in his 50s and 60s have a happier existence? Bradley Cooper, wealthy and just gosh darn it, just gorgeous. I mean, cheekbone you could slice cheese on, or Bill
Warren
Gates,
Buffett.
Or Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, who's living in a ranch house in Nebraska.
Sure.
It's a tough one. I know you're thinking about this.
Quad, right?
Think about yourself. Think about waking up and looking yourself in the mirror.
I'm thinking.
And wait, looking at yourself and looking at who you might be
with. And thinking, boy, it's a little cold. Let me throw a stack of hundreds on the fire.
No,
Sounds terrible.
I got to stick with sexiness. I got to stick with sexiness, Jim. I respect your argument. But the best list to be on is the sexiest man alive list.
It is.
Here's what let's say, and this is a very dangerous assumption. Let's say Keith Strudler is named sexiest man alive.
Cart that video, by the way.
Would you demand?
I just want the words Keith Strudler, sexiest man alive.
Would you demand that be part of your introduction to everything?
Oh, yeah.
Like the way you win one boxing
match,
you're always the champ.
Yeah.
Would you demand that it be like, and also appearing, sexiest man alive, Keith Strudler?
Oh, absolutely. I still introduce Jack Ford as sexiest newsman in America. I just.
Well, but see, the thing is, he's not anymore.
He was. He is to me. He is to me. So I just, yes, of course I would. Once you're the champ, once you're the president, you're always the president, Mr. President.
Yeah.
That's, of course. That is, that title supersedes just about anything.
Yep. Jim, again, a great answer. I think sexiness gets put over the top because there's really no downside to being sexy. Forget what Right Said Fred said. You can't be too sexy.
Nope. There's no such thing. No such thing.
Jeff looks fade. That's all I'm going to say. And
yeah, but Dad, so does money.
Money. George Clooney's looks have not faded at all.
Money doesn't fade as fast.
I mean, I like money. I'm not going
to. And whereas looks are guaranteed to fade over time, there's the best way to get more money is to have a lot of money. So.
But I don't think that looks fade as much. I mean, I understand some people go downhill a little bit, but I don't agree. If you're gifted with sexiness and just attractiveness, that's a gift. That's a God-given gift. That's something that was given to you. And, you know, first of all, it is just like the money. It's your responsibility to nurture it. Like Kevin Leary would say, that's your job, right? He cares about money. He wants to make it more and more. When you're given sexiness, it's your job to kind of cultivate that sexiness. Go to the gym. Get a haircut.
Sidecar question, gentlemen. Who is the sexiest man in sports?
Sexiest man in sports.
I feel totally unqualified to answer that question.
Ah, come on,
sexiest
Jim.
Man in sports. I mean, I know a lot of people like Jeter a lot. They
sure.
Did.
I think Tom Brady would be a fine choice.
I think is it Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh,
it is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Let me tell you.
Come on,
it's a lot of nodding from Mike and Mike.
So I'd go with Ronaldo. I could say I'm just not enough of a soccer fan to really Ronaldo. I mean, in the U.S., Brady is, but Brady has such high negatives that some people can't get over it.
He does. He's polarizing.
He is polarizing.
But that shouldn't play into one's sexiness.
I feel like we should be go looking at the NBA. I mean, it depends what you're looking for. You know, I feel like we should be looking at the NBA a little bit.
International appeal. I think I'm going to stick with Ronaldo.
Yeah, Ronaldo's a strong choice. Ronaldo's a strong choice.
Do you have an opinion? Tweet at us at ESPN_classroom.
Boy, is that clock being 4 minutes off annoying? Jim, we have a clock in our studio, and it's off by like 4 minutes.
Which way?
Three and a half.
It's ahead by 4 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really
probably better than the alternative.
I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what else we learned?
And it keeps your arithmetic, at least basic arithmetic, on its toes.
Although we might be out of things to say, we learned also this morning that our mics go live at 10 a.m., even though the show's not live.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody learned anything they didn't already know.
No. I mean, it was cleaner than many of our discussions pre-show.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse.
There's much, much worse.
Remember, every mic is a live mic. That's a good lesson for the kids out there.
It's true.
It's a great.
All right. Our esoteric sports expert, Jim Cotter, joining us here in the classroom. Thanks so much for coming on. Enjoy the world's largest cross-country meet.
Yep.
Hey, I will. You guys have a great week.
See you, Jim. All right, folks, here's what's coming up in the second hour of the classroom. Boy. It's draft day. Last year, we drafted animals. This year, we draft nations.
Yes.
Obviously, the draft and the strategy behind it is a parable for how sports teams are built.
Mm-hmm.
The way you draft determines the future of your franchise. We're going to draft when we come back. Nations. Now, do we know the draft order?
No, I think during the break we're going to do one of those random. Can you guys get on the computer and do one of the random
pickers?
We're gonna there's going to be four of us drafting.
Yep.
I've got a war room set up.
I'm ready.
My war room is my two kids who are sitting out there.
I have been consulting with world leaders all week. I feel as though we've got a good list together. A couple off the board choices.
I've got a couple choices that are really, really interesting. I don't know really. Here's my other problem. I only know about 20 countries.
You're going to want to stay tuned on the other side of this timeout. It's the Classroom Nation Draft. Will the United States of America go number one? Where does Putin's Russia fit into the equation? How high do you draft?
Before on the break, can you just consolidate the explosion sound? I want to explode into break.
They can't do that. How high does socialist democracies like Sweden and Denmark go?
Oh, you're tipping your hand a little bit.
Where does China fit into the equation? What about an emerging economy like India?
You're really tipping.
These questions and more will be answered in the Classroom Nation Draft when we come back in the classroom on Fox 1220 97.3 ESPN Radio. Day in the classroom. Welcome back to your weekly Smart Look at Sports from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler. Captain Mike Wallace and Michael Hines are also in studio. And it is time for us to rebuild this broken planet. Keith Strudler, this is a sci-fi situation. Imagine that every world leader has been deposed. Imagine that the world, the globe, is a rudderless ship. No one knows who's in charge of anything. But the four of us are here, thankfully here, to choose the top 16 countries and begin to repopulate the Earth.
We are each being given the opportunity to play, dare I say, God, right? We are each able to form our own mini planet. And if this is going to be all you have, you're getting all your pieces together, you're going to have four countries, just like an NFL team, has the opportunity to pick its players, just like an NBA franchise has the opportunity to pick its parts to make itself the best it can be, to coalesce around that unit to enter, you know, the NBA season. We are doing the same. Now, what this is not is a war of the worlds. We are not actually going to be picking countries that will fight against each other.
No.
These worlds will be independent.
Now, military strength is important. It comes into play.
Well, it comes into play in the context of your own planet. But these planets will not be...
They're not separate. You're in a planet with everybody else. It's one globe, Keith Strudler. It's like we're starting a game of Risk.
No, that's not what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
No.
Yes.
No, we went over this. You are starting a new world.
That's not what we're doing, because then military strength means nothing. Why would you fight amongst your own planet?
Well, look...
No. You all have to coexist together. You all have to coexist together, the four of us. It has to happen. We're coexisting.
I don't think that's
how yes.
it works. I don't think that's how it works.
It's how it works.
You won,
Michaels.
That's how it works.
It's how it works.
Works for me.
Done. So now we're just going to pick nuclear.
Three against one. You want out? We'll get Oliver in your chair.
Oh, good luck with that.
We'll depose another dictator right here.
Yeah, eight months from now, I'll give you an answer.
So now we know how this works. The four of us are the four leaders of the planet. We will get to choose our sides. Will there be peace? Will there be war? Will there be prosperity? It remains to be seen as we draft.
But this is not Risk, though. It's not just military power.
No, it's not. Everything comes into play.
Well, you might as well pick the biggest military power take over.
Why?
Because then you can just bomb every other country and take what they have.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. What if you lose? It's a big risk. And remember, defending countries always have an advantage.
Based on what?
They know the terrain.
But if you pick
it's a lot harder to go fly overseas and try to fight a war over somebody.
If you pick a nuclear.
You don't think the British learned that lesson? 1776?
All right,
Cornwallis. This is the Nation Draft.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nation's Draft.
The endings.
That was it?
We have to work on the fade.
Okay. I'm Jeff Baralti's Keith Strudler, Mike Wallace, Michael Hines. We are the four people that are drafting nations. We will all coexist on the same planet. We will all have our faction of nations. Michael Hines, during break, picked the draft order by random number generator.
I don't feel like this is random at all, by the way.
Michael Wallace, what do we have? Michael Hines, what do we have in the draft order?
Jeff, you will be going first,
Excellent.
Followed by Mike Wallace, and then me. So last on the first round is Dr. Strozzi.
Yeah,
now,
really
that also
random.
Means you get the first pick of the second round.
Sure.
So you get 4 and 5, I get 1 and 8.
I got garbage and garbage.
So on and so forth. All right, am I on the clock?
Jeff, you are on the clock.
I've thought long and hard about this.
Okay, all right.
If I was to randomly be assigned the first pick.
It's a lot of pressure on the first pick.
What nation do you choose? And there is a lot of pressure. Obviously, I think number one on everybody's board is the United States of America.
Sure.
But is there, the pick in?
But there are question marks there. There are question marks there.
God, you are making... America
is by no means an infallible nation.
You are literally killing the listeners.
Is America... the place you would start if you are rebuilding a world? I'm not so certain. There are other good choices out there. There are other good choices out there. However, after a lot of thought and consultation...
Well, is the pick in? You need to tell them the pick is in.
The pick is in.
The pick is in.
Mike Wallace, the pick is in. With the first overall pick in the 2016 Classroom Nation Draft... I select the United States of America.
Surprise! LeBron James. All right, that's probably enough.
No, keep it playing. Let me hear my song.
Well, the USA.
Don't talk over my anthem.
Interesting story. Everyone out in the control room is kneeling right now. Locked arms.
This is not...
enough.
If I wasn't tethered to my chair with a wire, I too would stand.
Turn it off. Turn it off. America is dead to me. All right, can we...
Anybody... a little analysis of my pick, please.
All right. Oh, yes. Oh, a shocker.
So we have pros. Largest economy. Right. Largest military.
Darn right.
Mix of all cultures. We also have football.
We do?
Cons.
We do have that.
Cons.
We have Chicago.
Chicago's a city.
Milwaukee?
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah.
Over $19.5 trillion in debt.
Yeah, but it's cheap to borrow right now.
Is, yep.
And to be fair, rest of the world, you're never seeing a dime.
And our next president will either be Donald Trump or
Hillary
Clinton.
Well, it would have been. It would have been until I was in charge.
Until Jeff drafted the United States.
You could have trouble on the horizon. So I feel
good about my choice. Mike Wallace, you're on the clock.
All right. Let's see.
Oh, that was quick. The pick is in.
Well, he's not going to bore the listeners with a 12-minute synopsis of a country they live in.
Yeah. Second overall pick of the 2016 Nation Draft, I'm going to go Germany.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
It's a great selection.
It's a good pick.
In fact, Germany was my second choice for number one.
I don't know that we do well by playing the German national anthem on our show. I feel like it's
fine. It's the modern Germany. It's brand
new. Modern Germany.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific pick, Mike Wallace. I'm very proud of you. Why'd you make it?
So the pros, cars. You got BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche.
It's a nice car.
Great economy.
Top 10 military.
Yep.
Cons, nothing's open on Sunday. High taxes.
Wouldn't have thought of that. Yep.
To be fair, there are some other cons.
historical.
Troubled past.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yes.
we live in the present.
That's true.
I do think Germany is a fine selection.
I would also say
we have... great sports.
I would also
World Cup champs.
Your other con is you have to carry Greece with you. So that's
strong GDP.
Yeah.
I will say your GDP is 1/4 the size of mine, but that's fine. Good choice. Good choice. Mike Wallace likes Germany, and that means that it's now up to Michael Hines.
I'm ready if you want to cue that up.
Yeah, we're ready.
So I put in a lot of thought, and I'm thinking my pick, Japan.
I feel like Japan would have been there later.
Yeah, and not a nuclear power. And
is that a reach?
Why?
Oh, it's a reach.
Why, Michael Hines?
And a 30-year recession, I believe.
Why? Why did you select Japan with the third overall pick? Go ahead.
I'm waiting for my anthem to play.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, yeah.
Have a little respect.
In America, we don't care.
I'm going to go in a very odd direction, by the way.
No surprise there. Get ready for Costa Rica.
I'm not going to be able to find your anthem.
You might.
Scouts have said that Keith Strudler has been looking at Central America.
This sounds like a movie soundtrack.
Is the Axis of Evil still in place?
No. No. Two of them have just been, well, the old Axis. The Axis of Evil, yes, is in
place. All right, so we, give us the pros and cons of Japan.
Well, top five military. It's easy to get around with a good transportation
system. That's true.
That is true. Yes, great public transportation.
That anthem seems unusually loud.
It's just in our ears.
And one of the big deciding factors was working into that top five military. It is in Japan's constitution where they have a treaty with the United States where were there to be an attack on me,
that's
Jeff
true.
Must come to my
You've
aid.
Been drawn yeah, into that
Jeff
fight.
Must
me,
come to
let
my
me tell
defense.
You,
I like
let me,
that. Trump chief did to a little
Let me tell you
that's
one thing.
A high upside pick.
Let me tell you one thing that's definitely going to happen. Something that a piece of paper says has to happen.
It is true. That's already been called into question. All
but
right.
that said, Michael Hides, I am very willing to work together with you, and I look forward
oh,
to
no
a
line.
Long I look forward to a long and prosperous relationship for both of our nations.
Japan has a high floor.
All right, Keyshreller, you get two.
All right, now what's clearly
we're only playing. By the way, the pick is in sound once. So
no, I get my no. I by the way, I have a real issue right now because there's clearly been an alliance between the three of you.
No, that's not true.
Oh no,
you. In fact, I would like to have you on my side as well.
Well, you're about to not.
Oh. Hey, really, we could all work together.
I need two things. I need three things. Mm-hmm. I need some money. I need some oil, and I need some bombs. All right.
Oh my God.
I'm really worried about where this is going.
With the fourth pick in the nation draft, I pick. The pick is in. I pick the great nation of Russia. Give it to me. Oh,
That's a poor pick.
Give it to me.
It's a poor pick.
Give it to me.
That's a poor pick.
So poor that we got everything. Yes.
That's a poor on my board. That is it. That is
we got.
That's
we,
awful.
That's yeah. a reach.
Good luck.
That is a
Good
serious
luck.
Reach.
That's like a Tim Tebow sure. in the first round.
Yeah, you think Russia is such a bad pick? Come get some. Come get some.
Okay.
Come get some.
All right, Russia. U.S. Wow. News ranked them most athletic.
Most athletic.
Most steroids.
I challenge.
Yeah. second largest military.
Thank you.
Right yes, I'll give you that.
Cons very crowded.
Yes.
And I hope you like winter.
I love it.
Other cons, how do you feel about a failing economy?
Oh, I'll turn that thing around. I will turn that thing around. Look, everyone's afraid of Russia, including House of Cards, all right?
Keyshreller selected the first authoritarian rule country.
Well,
I don't think that surprises
I'm
anyone.
I'm about to pick the second, because my pick is in with the fifth pick. Fifth pick in the... Look, I think we all understand this planet runs on energy, and we all need natural resource. With the fifth pick... In the nation draft, I take the great nation of Saudi Arabia.
Oh boy.
I'm taking the oil.
Your country is, your world is awful.
I'm taking the oil. Give it to me.
Your
Gotta
world
find
is
that.
Have,
Didn't,
do they
Saudi
have
Arabia is probably not even on the list.
I don't. Do they have a board?
Oh, nope. I've got it on my board. I, by the way, Keyshreller at 4 and 5 just picked on my list 24 and 29.
Your list is ridiculous. I just picked bombs and oil. I've never heard this song before.
It's the Saudi Arabian national anthem. It's called
Saudi
something
Arabia.
I can't pronounce because
By
it's
the
written
way,
in Arabic.
You're now in my backyard because the U.S. is going to have to do business with Saudi Arabia.
Not true.
Oh,
not true.
Oh, good luck with your...
We're going to unite with Germany and Japan.
Good luck with your panels. Good luck with your solar panels.
Wind, solar, nuclear. Yeah. We're freezing you out because of your human rights violations.
Well, I'll fix that.
Do you
that.
Realize you
I'll
just selected
that.
4 and 5, the two greatest human rights
I'll
violators on the planet?
Yeah, well, someone's taking China, so good luck with that. All right. All right, I feel comfortable now. Let's keep
wow.
it going.
All right, we're in the second round. Michael Hines. He's got Japan already on the roster. Who will join them?
Now, these are not guaranteed picks, of course. We're in the second round.
Second round, yes. These have to make the team in training camp.
This is better than I thought it would be.
I'm going with India.
Ooh, that's
India.
Also, I think a reach. I don't like that pick either. And now, to be said, he's got a lot of... Michael Hines seems like the densely packed countries.
He wants a lot of people under his rule.
If we're sticking with that king and prime minister thing, if I'm the king, I'm getting a lot of
taxes. It's a numbers game. It is a numbers game,
India
though.
Is very, very low on my list. I have them at 22 on my board.
How many nations do you have on your board?
I got a big board.
Dangerous neighborhood, by the way. That should be noted as a con. Pakistan, you got some problems there. You have some nuclear issues.
But we exist together. If Pakistan's not drafted, then they're not an issue.
I think India is a high upside project pick.
Should I take Pakistan just to get under its skin?
India, I think, is a high upside. I mean, that economy is emerging. We don't know where that's going to end up.
They said that about Brazil as well.
It's a risk-reward.
It is a high risk, high risk.
You gotta be willing to take a chance.
We haven't even brought this up. Is cuisine a part of this?
Of course it is.
Because Indian food is one of my favorite, if not my favorite. So, something to...
You know who has the best Indian food? England.
Right now.
You know who's got better Indian food? America.
Manhattan. By the way, I'm in trouble right now food-wise. I got Saudi Arabia
and Russia. And you're a vegetarian.
Forced.
Boy. All right, you have two more picks.
I got problems.
Okay. Michael Wallace, you have Germany. Who do you add?
He's going to steal my pick.
I doubt it. With your picks, I don't think I can even guess what your next one is going to be. This next one is very close to my heart. And we're going to go Italy.
Italy!
Not what I was expecting.
A little more spirit than I thought on that.
I don't know how I feel. I mean, I think Italy's a fine pick.
It's a lovely place.
Arts, culture.
This is my leisure pick. This is my luxury pick.
You take that should be your fourth pick, though. Your leisure pick.
No.
It should be your final pick.
I mean, I feel good about it. I think it's a fine pick.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a very average choice. You know, I think it'll be, it'll be on the team. It'll contribute. I don't think it'll make a lot of Pro Bowls.
Well, I'll tell you. All right, so pros, U.S. News ranked it best food.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
I agree with that 100%.
And I'll tell you what, nobody's got better cars than I do.
That, yeah, between Germany and Italy.
And Italy?
Yeah,
no.
I don't hate
Grand
Prix
goes Mike Wallace's way. He's going to very slow. He is actually, interestingly, just basically creating the world in like the 1700s.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and to be fair.
What a time to be alive.
In the 1940s, you have a questionable roster.
But in 2016. we also have sexy accents. That's in the research.
I agree.
Best dressed.
Oh, Italy, yes.
Cons.
I'm going to dress myself.
Dangerous roads and high unemployment rate.
Yes. True. Yes. Okay, so now it's me for a wraparound. The pick is in.
Give it to me. Pick is in. There we go. Let's remind people this is the second round, third pick of the second round.
This is the fourth pick of the second round. And joining the United States of America. I would like to take the United Kingdom, or if we don't consider that one country, England.
England, you don't get the whole.
Sorry, Scotland. I choose England.
We're gonna go United Kingdom because "God Save the Queen" is a much better song.
All right, play it, but he's only getting England. Play "God Save the Queen." Everyone, stand, please.
Thank you. Yes, please do.
This song, I feel like it makes me want to cry a little bit. This is a great song.
Obviously, I feel London.
It's a world-class
city.
World-class city.
It's an international financial center.
Yeah, a lot going on there.
Powerful military. Lots of world influence.
Sure.
Food, little to be desired.
It's gotten much better.
Teeth, little to be desired.
You have good dental in America.
I will also say the England you're adopting now, maybe not the same England you would have gotten a year ago.
Uh-huh. We are slightly nervous about leaving the European Union. I'm hoping I can convince my people to stay. I still believe the United Kingdom is a choice that I needed to make.
Yeah.
Now, to begin the third round, I'm torn between two. I was not expecting both of these two countries to still be on the board.
Are you picking on need or are you picking best available?
I'm picking on best available. Okay. And I believe I'm going to start the third round with...
I think I know where this is going.
Sweden.
Didn't see that one coming.
I did not see that.
You like the Volvos, you want your cars...
I mean, on almost every list.
Would you like the national anthem or the royal anthem?
Oh, royal anthem, please.
Yeah, royal, of course. We've already talked about kings.
On almost every list of best places to live in the world, Sweden, quality of life is ranked extraordinarily high. The people are almost universally beautiful. They are almost universally employed. Nobody hates Sweden. Sweden has no enemies.
I feel I can't.
Bad climate, extremely high taxes, and high cost of living.
Now, what do you get for those high taxes, Mike Wallace?
An ample amount of xenophobia, I believe.
You get school handled. You get Social Security handled. Medical handled. Dental handled.
And
the people of Sweden,
you need the dental.
The people of Sweden pay those taxes happily.
And I'll tell you what. You know what Sweden's always doing? looking over its shoulder over at sweet old Russia.
No, Sweden's far enough away from Russia.
Sounds like a threat.
We got two seas in between us. We got Finland over there as a barrier.
Oh, Finland, by the way, Finland's in harm's way. Finland has always been in harm's way.
I feel very happy with my roster. USA, England, Sweden. Now we go to Mike Wallace. What will he add?
Like it's so long for it to come back to me.
What will he add to Germany and Italy?
Not liking this.
My third round pick, I'm going to have to stay in Europe. I'm just going very close.
This is getting... You want to be able to keep the existing train system, obviously.
Yes. Good strategy, some would say. And I'm going Switzerland.
It's an interesting choice. But no military strength, but the ability to talk to everybody.
I have plenty of military strength already.
Switzerland is an interesting choice.
I want more money, more mountains.
Very easy to defend.
I've got to tell you, Switzerland... It might be the worst pick of the draft up to this point.
I was going to say it was a steal.
I don't think it is.
If you have drinking water.
If you visit there.
It's nice. A lot of places are nice. I mean, you have zero influence in the world. Zero influence.
Oh, but everyone needs you.
But nobody needs you.
That's a need that can be addressed in the fourth round.
I don't know about that pick.
Am I picking my third and fourth round back to back?
You are.
Oh, God.
Then you're done. Then you've got your roster.
All right.
I'm sure two countries can't wait to join Russia and Saudi Arabia in your roster.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of gas. What? We're going to drive ourselves into the ground.
What?
Give me some of those BMWs because we're going to drive them.
Nope. That's enough of this national anthem. Michael Hines, who joins Japan and India in your roster?
It's an interesting, by the way, lineup.
Switzerland. I don't know about that one. I think it's one that's better on paper than in actuality. I think that's a big red flag, sir.
I feel like I'm probably taking one from Dr. Strudler, but I'm going to have to go with China.
Interesting.
They fell too far to not take that.
Interesting. Continuing, Michael Hines loves a densely packed nation.
Michael Hines is winning on people.
But think about population. I mean, I would say Michael Wallace has about 8 people under his wing right now.
Italy and Germany?
They're pretty small relative to the other stuff going on. Michael Hines has basically half the planet. Half the planet.
Between Michael Hines and Keith Strudler, I don't think there's a nation between you that does not commit human rights atrocities. Japan, I guess Japan's okay. The rest of them leave you some serious cultural question marks.
All right.
Some serious cultural question marks.
Now I've got to make my mark here.
Keith Strudler, now get your final two picks. What will round out your four-nation class?
Please tell me you're going to pick Greece.
I'd love to. You know, the food is delicious. So it's this is tough because, you know, we're dealing...
See if Keith Strudler picks any nations inside the world top 20.
You laugh. We're going to bomb you to smithereens. Yeah, we're not afraid to.
Yeah,
we're
good
not
luck.
Afraid to,
I only either. Have the largest and fourth largest militaries in
yeah,
the world.
But you
that's
got,
fine.
Yeah, but you got...
And number one, by the way, outpaces the next 13 combined.
You're going to be hesitant. There will be no hesitation on my part.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'm going to do. Boy, this is tough. Yep. I think with the my third round pick is in.
Doesn't get old.
I think I'm going to go a country that is beloved.
Okay.
That is. I don't want a ton of people. That is majestic. Has a healthy economy. I think a company that, if things turn a certain way, could become much more populated in the near future. I'm going to pick Canada.
It's a good selection. It's a very good selection. Canada was right now last on my board to be my last pick. I think it's a great choice.
National anthem, too.
Let's hear it. Oh, it is a great national anthem. Let's hear it.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah. Everybody stand up.
We're about to stand on guard for thee.
This is running a little long, but it's okay.
It's okay. I respect that choice. I like Canada. Now, bring it home. Let's start the fourth round. Who do you add to Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Canada? Which one of these is not like the other?
All right. So it gets really interesting for me.
It does.
Because there's, do you pick a kind of a vanity pick here at the end? I do need some of the finer things. That's what I don't really have yet. We have lots of money. We got lots of oil. We got bombs. And now we got space. I could use some power and some economic muscle. That's always good. I could use a country that maybe isn't hated by every other country in the world. That would be fine, too. I could use some good food. I could use some mountains, some vacation. And I'd like to get in the middle of what the crazy land that Wallace is building up over there to make sure that he's not running Western Europe into the ground.
Mm.
So with my fourth and final pick, it's in, I will be picking the beautiful and lovely nation of France.
Great selection.
That's a great national anthem, too. Let's hear it.
Très bien.
Très bien.
Anytime now. Just whenever you get around to it. Yes. Yes.
Pros for France. Food, fashion, romance.
Romance.
Large military. Cons.
Oui, oui.
Rudest people.
Rude people. No, no.
Expensive essentials, a.k.a. Fuel, food, and clothing.
No, not with Saudi Arabia in the mix. We'll get that pipeline.
All right. So Keith Strohler's roster, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Canada, and France.
Love it. That's, by the way, starting on the fourth, with number four pick. I had the worst place to go.
And picking an awful selection at four, and an even more awful selection at
perfect.
Five.
Great, great lineup.
All right. Michael Hines, who joins Japan, India, and China in your densely... You might want to pick a nation with some space to put those people.
I actually had to call an audible since my two picks that I was going to take were both just taken.
Wow, that happens in a snake draft.
Canada and France were just taken
all
off
right.
the board.
So where do you go?
I'm going to throw my hat into Europe as well.
Not a lot of great stuff going on there, but go ahead.
Austria.
Austria. I don't hate it. In fact, when Michael Wallace took Switzerland, I thought Austria would have been a better choice.
Yeah, teeters on the edge of some dangerous... they have a history as well.
Okay.
And they're a little bit closer to their past, perhaps.
Michael Wallace, give us some analysis on Michael Hines' selection of Austria.
Lovely beer gardens. Michael is trying to figure out what continent... Austria is in.
It's in Europe.
Okay.
Oh, great orchestra.
That is
I know
true.
That.
I believe that.
You now own the Sound of Music. Congratulations.
Owns the Sound of Music.
I'm essentially getting German food.
True. Bavarian.
Beer
yes.
as well.
Yes. yes. The hills. Your hills are alive.
Bratwurst.
Yep. All right. We gotta move this along a bit.
Yes. We do have two commercial breaks still to go.
Mike Wallace, your final pick joining Germany, Italy, and Switzerland in your roster of nations.
All right, this is a bit of a panic pick. I'm
never good.
I'm being rushed. So I'm going to go outside of Europe. I'm going Argentina.
Argentina?
That is an interesting...
Do not cry for me, Mike Wallace. Why do you pick Argentina?
You know, it's the birthplace of tango. Really nice weather. Most fun country in the world.
Great beaches.
Most
great
fun beaches. Country in the uh-huh. world.
Cons? Cons?
Dictatorships. He also...
Cons are pickpockets.
Dictator, I would have, to be honest, if you're going that route, you might as well go on Venezuela and get the oil. But
I don't know about Argentina.
It is fun.
You do have Lionel Messi.
They've got soccer. They're going to get World Cups.
I'm the best soccer team. I have Germany and...
Yes,
Germany.
That's correct. Mike Wallace will win the World Cup, without a doubt.
I will win the World Cup.
Okay. And now to bring it home. It doesn't matter who I pick. I've already got the best roster with the United States, England, and Sweden.
You have a dated roster.
Just
you have the past world. I have the new world.
Just to continue my domination... In selecting four of the top 10 ranked best countries according to the U.S. News and World Report.
Oh, great.
I'd like to finish my team with Australia.
That was an interesting one. I thought about that. Thought about Australia. It's not a bad pick. I should have
gone. Of course, it's not a bad pick.
That would have been an interesting one versus France. France and Australia, really.
Man, I am stacked.
Oh, you are not.
USA.
You're ready for that sunburn.
USA.
And snakes.
Nice ozone.
Spiders.
Yeah,
oh, you have more poisonous everything. You
everything
realize that.
Can
sharks,
kill you.
Sharks, spiders, and you got Crocodile Dundee, the whole deal.
I'm not going
to. I've got so. Sydney Harbor.
Fine.
Yeah.
There's sharks in Sydney.
I've got
kangaroos. That's nice.
Margot Robbie's home nation.
I do like the kangaroos. I do like the kangaroos.
All kinds of marsupials, not just kangaroos.
I understand the whole
bandicoots.
Family. Yep. Animals with pouches.
And of course, the home nation of Margot Robbie.
let's run down these nations. Let's run down our worlds for us.
Okay. My roster.
I was liking that.
Really, not even close to the best.
Oh, it's not close
USA.
To the best.
You have England, Sweden, and Australia.
That's
not
right.
A weakness in the bunch.
So in 19 and good luck getting your oil. And in 1980, you would have been great.
Not a weakness in
Enjoy
the bunch. Michael Wallace, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, and Argentina. Started strong. I think he faded at the end. I think he's got a depth issue.
I feel confident.
Michael Hines, Japan, India, China, and Austria. One does not belong. I will say he's got a lot of people.
It's a numbers game.
He's got a lot of question marks as to what his economy will be in the future.
And finally, the winning team.
And then Keith Strudler, who has an too many advanced degrees, selected with the entire globe available to him.
The good stuff.
Russia, Saudi Arabia.
Got it.
Canada and France.
Winner. We have covered all of our bases. We've got vacation spots. We've got mountains. We've got a wonderful scenic nation, democracy in Canada. We've got power and bombs in Russia. And we've got the oil. All we got to do is make sure they all play together nicely, and we can make this world work.
25% of your world doesn't allow women to drive cars.
We're going to have to work on that. We're going to have to work on that.
That's the 2016 Nation Draft. How did everybody feel they did? I personally feel that, you're all going to want to, if you'd like to bow to me now, that's fine. If you'd like to wait till after the show, that's okay.
My only concern is I'm afraid to visit two of the countries that I have. My only concern. Really, that's it. Otherwise, we're fine.
You imagine that's how real drafts go? Like, do you think during the NFL draft it goes very similar to what we were just doing?
I had a late panic pick. That definitely happened.
That feels like the Cowboys war room where they're like, no, Jerry, no, not Saudi Arabia. He's like, I want it.
Saudi Arabia at 5 was the Quincy Carter of the Nation Draft.
That oil. You know what? Those turbines aren't running that well yet, so keep the oil flowing.
We got to take a break. When we come back in the classroom, we're going to talk about Les Miles out at LSU with $12.9 million golden parachute. Is this good for college football, firing coaches midseason? That's ahead. You're on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. The Nation Draft is a wrap. You can call me the Master of the Universe. I'm Jeff Brault, alongside Dr. Keith Strudler, Director of the Marist College Center for Sports
Communication. Do you proclaim yourself the winner of everything you do?
Only when I'm the winner. I mean, who could argue that my roster, USA, England, Sweden, Australia, 4 of the U.S. News and World Report top 6 in their rankings of best countries, who could argue,
I'd argue
that is not the winning roster?
I would argue against it.
You have Russia and Saudi Arabia.
That's right. We're going to drive ourselves into oblivion.
The two most detestable countries on the planet.
It's better to be respected than be liked.
Nobody respects Saudi Arabia.
Better to be feared than to be liked. How about that? And by the way, you want a likable character? Go to Canada. Canada's the most likable place in the world. Everyone loves Canada.
I would rank, by the way, if I was ranking how the nations went. Me 1, Mike Wallace 2, Michael Hines 3. Although I think it's close there. I think it's close 2 and 3. And then 12th, Keith Strudler.
You're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. If we took this to a think tank or a Secretary of State, they'd be like, well, Strudler's got a strong team.
Do you have an opinion on who won the Nation Draft? What nations would you have selected? Tweet at us at ESPN_Classroom. You can also like us on Facebook by searching for ESPN The Classroom. Archived versions of our show, including the Nation Draft in its entirety, will be available on iTunes in the podcast section by searching for ESPN The Classroom. Mike Wallace, you've been pointing.
We're done with that music.
No more picks. The picks are out. Big story in sports this week, as we are, shockingly, a sports radio program. Yeah. In fact, your weekly Smart Look at Sports.
Right.
Les Miles out at LSU. He's been on the hot seat for quite a while, the head football coach at Louisiana State University, and finally given the boot this week.
Yeah, after a tough loss last week, I had the second loss of the season. They dropped an early season loss to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
Who's a good team?
Very good team. Look, 4-0, and Wisconsin is now we'll find out this week how good they are, but is a national player. Lost a tough game at the beginning of the season. Lost a game a lot of people wanted them to win last week. And now they're essentially out of the conference conversation, very likely. And they're certainly out of the national title race, which is what I think a lot of people anticipated they'd be a player in. They have a lot of talent on their team. And the fans expected something. He was almost fired last year. Kind of played his way into sticking around.
Really, Leonard Fournette saved his job.
Yeah. And because of that, a guy who won a national title in 2011 has won, I don't know the numbers on this, but I believe has won more games than just about any head coach in his tenure percentage-wise after the Nick Sabans and so forth, is going to be let go. And it'll be in place in what most would agree is the toughest conference in all of college football. And is not – LSU has always been a good team, good university of football. I wouldn't say that they have a historic natural advantage over other schools and has made them a player in the national conversation seemingly every year. I don't know what it is they think they're going to find on the other side of this.
I mean, here's the thing about Les Miles. Great recruiter. His 2013, 14, 15, and 16 class were all ranked in the top six nationally. LSU's roster has probably like five potential
first round picks. They could just turn them into the Giants or something, or the Raiders next year.
And, you know, they're at positions that are, I mean, Leonard Fournette is one of the most dynamic players in college football. He's probably not going to win the Heisman, but he's of that level.
He would if he wanted to.
if he wanted to.
Well, he's
but Les Miles just couldn't. He couldn't take that talent and turn it into wins consistently. I do think it's a very good situation for interim head coach Ed Orgeron. He was second interim head coaching job. He had it at USC.
Best voice in all of football.
It's up there. I think LSU is a place where whoever comes in, whether they stick with their interim coach for the long haul or whether they hire someone else this season, the end of the season, whatever they do, I think it's a place where somebody can win immediately, and that's going to make it very attractive to high-level assistants or head coaches at places like Houston or Louisville.
Well, I think the obvious choice is Houston, although Houston could be moving into the Big 12. But regardless, I think, and that's Herman at Houston, who is now 4-0 and just put a schlocking on UConn already this week and really is one win away from being in the playoffs, and that win would be against Louisville, which will come later this year.
But that said, is firing a coach like Les Miles in the middle of a season, giving him a $12.9 million buyout, is that good for college sports?
Especially when
you think about what college sports are supposed to be.
Well, what's also interesting is Louisiana has had more than its share of budget crisis. In fact, last year they almost had to shut down football at certain schools because there was no money in the state budget to pay for it. And these things are funded in most schools by state budgets. They literally had to – the governor had to make some provisions to make sure that they were able to play LSU football last year. So the idea that they should just – hand out $12.5 million, no matter who pays for it. I understand they're going to say, well, this is going to come from the boosters, and this is going to come. It's symbolic in the sense that I think anyone who struggles to pay their tuition, anyone who is, you know, deals in the reality in the classroom or at the university where there aren't enough classrooms or there aren't enough adjunct instructors or whatever it is, this is going to feel like a slap in the face. And I think they have to stop this practice. I'm sure there's going to be a rationalization for why this is a good financial move, because if they hire the right coach, they'll win more games and they'll get more donations. I'm sure there is a balance sheet at which they can say this isn't costing us anything. I think it, even symbolically, it looks really bad.
The fact of the matter is, on paper, it looks awful that you're paying someone like Les Miles $12.9 million to go away. And these buyouts are nothing new. Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame. Charlie Weiss was at one point double-dipping in buyouts. He was getting paid from Kansas and Notre Dame, not to coach.
That is actually – so we talk about who has the best life. That is the best.
I think we both agree that there is no sweeter deal than being paid to do nothing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know who I don't really respect? The people who, like, if I won Powerball, and I'm talking like a big Powerball, like $400 million, those people are like, I'd still go to work the next day.
I got, you know, it's important.
What's wrong with you?
It's important. My job needs me. You know what I would do? I would help on the transition.
No.
You just walk
away. You know what you do? Whatever you want to do.
You don't even clean out your
desk. Whatever you want to do.
You don't even clean out the desk.
Go work part-time somewhere doing something you love, whatever that is.
I'll tell you what. The classroom would be nationwide because we'd buy
all the airtime.
We'd buy a giant antenna. We'd buy one of these satellites.
Be like pirate radio on a grand scale.
Like, just turn your radio to any signal, because we've taken them all over. They can't stop it. Yep.
Tell you what, we might be drafting nations for real next time.
So symbolically it's bad. The other side, forget the symbolic value of it. In many cases, the real actual value doesn't work out really well. I mean, everyone thinks it's always great. Didn't work for USC. USC, you know, shuffling through coaches, and then they brought in, who was the guy they had to fire?
Steve Sarkisian.
Sarkisian. I mean, it always looks really good. Now, here's the other side of it. Look at what's happening at the University of Washington right now. Mm-hmm. They brought in Chris Peterson from Boise State. He was the guy, right? He was the guy that everyone's like, if we can just get him out of Boise State, he is a known commodity and he's a winner. Everyone looks at those lightnings in a bottle, and they say, what if we get Chris Peterson down here? All right, same thing, Brad Stevens, I think, was that guy in college basketball, right? What if we give that guy resources? Imagine what he can do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It happens to be working in Washington right now. Washington is now literally a player in the national championship race.
How important is the head football coach to, forgetting about football for a second, to a university? to their ability to raise money, to their ability to generate interest, to their ability to engage alumni. Is that not really the reason why it's so important to have a winner in that position?
It is, but you have to still win. Yes, that is very important. You saw, though, at the University of Texas with Mack Brown, he was really good at raising money and doing external outreach, but he had no control over his team by the end.
Did you see what Mack Brown did yesterday? Mack Brown.
Well, I love Mack Brown, by the way.
Mack Brown
was, my favorite, was
broadcasting the BYU football game on ESPN, and with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, had to leave, left the booth to catch a flight back to Bristol so he could be on the studio shows this morning. He left in the middle of the game. And that is why Mack Brown had to be fired at Texas. He's getting up there in years. He's getting a little scatterbrained.
Look, there's a later flight, but God, that gets in so late. By the time I get in, I mean, come on. I don't want to. I got a car waiting for me at the airport. I don't like to drive in the dark that much.
He left in the middle of the game. He just flat out skipped town. And it was a close game. It wasn't a blowout.
No, I know. Was it Toledo, right?
45-42 was the score.
I don't understand why BYU is that close to Toledo, but that's fine. It's not helping their Big 12 chances. So, that didn't help them. And look, University of Texas, by the way, Charlie Strong is turning it around.
True.
But you know what? At least they waited to the didn't they wait to the end of the year with Mack Brown? In fact, that was a drawn out firing. That was like a firing over 8 years.
It was one of those things where it was announced it was happening, that he got to, you know, play out the string. It was a year I don't know if Texas even won six games that year and was bowl eligible. Played out the string and then they replaced him.
That was like he was basically looking for other jobs while he was coaching at that point. He was done. But so I'm fine with that. I understand it's a big boy business. I don't like the big payouts though. I this is why I also don't think you should be giving those kind of guaranteed contracts. I guess the flip side of that is what is it worth to have a Nick Saban coach your team? Right,
Alabama would tell you $7.5 million a year,
guaranteed for how long?
As long as he wants it.
Right. So I mean, I guess that's the other side of it. These universities do generate tens of millions of dollars off their football program, and I suppose if you get the $12 million is insignificant compared to what you can get if you win. Although the reality is they're going to make money no matter what. LSU's making money off football no matter
what.
Correct. The SEC football contract, the network, all that kind of stuff is pouring money into the coffers no matter what. You know, I don't know the research on what a coach does in terms of your fundraising, but universities, I've seen studies before that report that winning and losing doesn't change that much the amount of fundraising for your university.
Really? So if somebody wins a national championship, it doesn't...
Those are extreme measures. This is, you know, that is kind of the...
Oh, you're saying like between 8 wins and 7 wins.
Well, having a good team versus having a mediocre team, I have seen stuff that indicates that doesn't make that big of a difference. And so sometimes playing for every last win... Now, it might change where that money's being donated to. And here's the other side of it. That donation, when your football team wins... Those big dollar donors are often going to the athletics department.
Very true.
I mean, so
that's why these stadiums look the way they look.
So as great as it is, you know, yeah, you can raise more money for your university, but it's not helping the central mission, core mission of the university.
Important point to remember: while these college football coaches are often their state's highest paid employee, making upwards of $5, $6, $7 million a year, why Les Miles is now getting almost $13 million to do absolutely nothing, the players receive tuition and sweatshirts.
Yes. Well. Yes. Well, they probably get more than that. They get food.
Yep. They are fed.
They get the they go to the bowl game. They get the bag.
They get up to $500 in gifts from their bowl.
That, by the way, that's nice.
Les Miles gets $13 million to do nothing.
It's not bad.
You know what you can buy with $13 million?
A lot of swag.
College tuition, sweatshirts, meals.
It doesn't make sense.
And gifts.
It doesn't make sense. And Les Miles got fired. He can get another job right now. And I don't know if there's any provision. I assume he collects his $13 million or whatever,
I don't know.
Some of them have a poison pill. A lot of times
you don't. Yeah. A lot of times once you get another job, you no longer get the buyout money.
Which is why you go to TV for a year or two.
It's exactly why.
Yeah.
Yes.
You go the John Gruden route.
We got to take a break.
When we
come back in the classroom, all grades of the week. Stay tuned. More your weekly Smart Look at Sports ahead on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. We're back in the classroom. I'm Jeff. He's Keith. Mike Wallace, Michael Hines also hanging out. Thanks for joining us this morning on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Video clips of our brand new studio and everything that we've discussed this morning. Les Miles, the Nation Draft, the 50 most influential people in sports will soon be available online. Just keep checking out our Twitter account at ESPN_classroom for links and more information. Let's get to your grades of the week.
All right, class, it's time for grades of the week.
I don't even understand.
So I added the explosion.
Okay. So that was what I wanted, like the Van Halen song, right?
We should keep that running a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I think you underestimate how long these things should
yeah,
be.
Yeah, we got to let the music drag out a little bit yeah. at the end so we can talk over the music. It sounds yeah. well produced that way.
We also had discussions about copyright.
Yeah, that's it. It's a real issue.
It's a concern. It's one that I personally don't care about because it would not be my money.
Me neither.
Yeah, it would be an issue I'd have to answer to someone in a position of authority about.
These are your grades of the week. The Kansas basketball team is now living in its own $12 million dorm mansion. Athletic dorms are illegal in the NCAA. You cannot build a dorm specifically for your basketball team or your football team. However, as long as more than 50% of the residents of said building are not part of a sports team,
yes,
you
loophole.
Can build it. So this is how McCarthy Hall works at Kansas. It's the home of the 16 members of the men's basketball team and 17 other random students. This dorm costs $12 million.
Oh,
it was funded by private donors. It's only a couple hundred feet away from Fog Allen Fieldhouse. This dorm at the University of Kansas, which is basically the basketball mansion,
yep.
features a half-court basketball facility, a media room, a game room with a pool table and a ping pong table, an in-house barber shop, a kitchen with a personal chef, and much, much more, including round-the-clock 24-hour security, including fingerprint scanners. Keith Strudler, grade this dorm.
Well, look. It's wrong at every level. I'm against the athletic dorm idea. But if you are one of those, I hope and pray they just randomly. I just hope it's random. And it's some kid, some engineering major is like, oh, I'm in, what's the name of the dorm?
McCarthy Hall.
McCarthy. Who's my roommate? I don't know. Like, give me a basketball player.
Perry Ellis.
Yeah, I don't know. Perry Ellis? A guy named Perry Ellis. I'll meet him when I get there. Right? Right? How cool would that be? And you're like, oh, what are you interested in? Basketball. And he's never there, too. You get the room to yourself all the time. That's your roommate. It is wrong at every level. So, philosophically, F.
But?
In actuality, when you get put in that dorm and people are like, how's the food at your university? Oh, it's very nice. We have a personal chef. By the way, you never want to move. Like, if you're a first-year student and you get put into that dorm, you are not looking forward to your sophomore year. Like, you never want to leave. You never want to leave that dorm. So I give it an A if you happen to be lucky enough to get there.
Some NFL quarterback news. Tennessee Titans third stringer Alex Tanny has chosen to remain on the Titans practice squad over being on the Cleveland Browns active roster. Now, to be fair, to keep him, Tennessee gave him a raise from $6,900 a week, which is what you make in the practice squad, to just a little over $30,000 a week, which Ooh. Is what you make on the active roster. So Tennessee gave him the money. However, he remains on their practice squad, and he would say that it's better for him to be there than on the Cleveland Browns active roster. Keith Strudler grade that decision.
So we're talking about living in Nashville versus Cleveland.
We are. And we're talking about being on an active NFL roster versus being on a practice
sure,
squad.
Sure, I understand that. I think we already conceded on this show that there's nothing better than getting paid to do nothing. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to get the same salary and he's going to have to actually show up on game day, take the heat, the pressure, and all that kind of stuff for a team that admittedly no one wants to play for, right? Why not enjoy your life in Tennessee, right?
Grade that decision.
I give it an A.
Now, one person who thinks you're wrong, Cleveland quarterback / wide receiver / everything, Terrell Pryor. Pryor believes the Cleveland Browns are close to getting over the hump and, quote, thinks the team can win the rest of their games this year.
All of them.
He thinks Cleveland can win out.
What is their current record?
Over.
Okay.
They would be 13-3 by year's end.
Wasn't aware. So they can go 13-3.
If they win out.
Would be a very respectable NFL, probably number one seed in the AFC.
So Keith yes. Strudler, grade Terrell Pryor's take on the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that is an A. Because I'll tell you what, because you don't get anywhere without a positive outlook. You don't get anywhere. You get nowhere without a positive outlook. He can either walk in and be part of the problem or he's going to be part of the solution. He can walk in and say, look, we're 0-3. This is one of America's worst cities. We are now the third most popular team in our town, which is hard to be as an NFL franchise. And if I counted Ohio State as part of that, then it would be fourth. But he's walking and say, we're a bunch of winners. We're winners. How is that not contagious? How is that not contagious?
Keith Strudler, one more before we go. We got to go quick. Big viral video this week. A man proposing to his girlfriend at Yankee Stadium dropped the ring. He eventually found it, but great stadium proposals.
Stadium proposals, I give a D to. To me, the only reason you do a stadium proposal is if you're afraid she's going to say no. It's a lot of social pressure to say yes. So a D, unless you're really like, if it's a reach for you.
That's all the time we've got in the classroom this morning. Thanks to intern Captain Mike Wallace and Michael Hines for hanging out, as well as Oliver and all of the Center for Sports Communication staff working behind the scenes to produce this program. His name is Dr. Keith Strudler. I'm Jeff Brault. Thanks for joining us. We're back with you next week, 10 a.m. to noon, for more of your weekly Smart Look at Sports right here on Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. Do not forget to like us on Facebook, ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom. Podcast archives available on iTunes. Search for ESPN The Classroom. That's all we've got. Class is dismissed.